You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
I know what this place is. The timekeepers have built quite the circus. And I see the clowns are playing their parts to perfection.
Big metaphor guy. I love it. Makes you sound super smart.
I am smart.
I know.
Okay.
Okay.
Please sign to verify this is everything you've ever said.
This is absurd.
Sign this too.
We protect the proper flow of time.
You picked up the Tesseract breaking reality.
I want you to help us fix it.
Why me?
I need your unique Loki perspective.
Do I get a weapon?
Nah.
Welcome, lowly Midgardians, to the Periodic Table of Awesome.
sorry, I can't go on. I've got this dolphin that's just on top of me. I'm currently
burdened with a glorious purpose or a porpoise.
Porpoise.
Oh, we love a bad gag here.
Not proud. How are you?
Good. How is everyone?
Sorry, I probably should have asked, you know, a more direct question. Like,
yeah.
Jill, how are you?
I'm well, thank you, Quinny. How are you, Peter?
Good.
I'm well, thank you, Jill. Excited to be talking about more Marvel. Does it feel like we love it a lot?
Just 2 weeks in a row.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's not like there's only one thing, like that we're in this homogenous zone where all we ever talk about is just Marvel shit.
We'll call ourselves the Marvelous Table of Awesome. No, wait, the Periodic Table of Marvel?
Both of those
All of
work.
These things. Yeah.
Depends on the
so,
time.
Yes, today we are... Oh, there's the first of
we're
many
diverging
timeline
already,
games to come.
To be honest.
Oh man, sorry. I'm fighting tooth and nail with my internet at the moment. The timeline and the timekeepers are currently fucking with my Wi-Fi and also my tethering off my phone. So fuck you, TVA, and all of the difficulties that you are causing. My timeline is just not loading at all.
How long till you get your final 5G upgrade?
Oh, Friday. Friday.
Nice.
I get upgrade. Yes. I will
You'll
be
have,
upgraded to...
Does 2 5Gs equal a 10G?
I don't know, but if anyone
or
wants to
it
give
just
me 10G,
they put the
I'm
cabling
totally
in,
with it.
They put the cabling in and then on Friday you get the connection.
I'm concerned about the idea that there's now cabling. I don't know where that cabling's going and... Am I still able to sit down? Anyway, what
are
we talking about today?
Into We're an talking interesting about Walmart. Place.
Yes, absolutely. And there is a variant of me out there somewhere that does have the cabling all the way up there.
There is a variant of you because I swear, like, sometimes when I'm at the office, I see a gentleman walking around and I'm like, wait a second. I'm like, no, that's not Quinny. It's just another very well-built, bald man with a beard getting around that looks a lot
you.
Like
I
you.
I like the phrase, very well built. He's stacked. Oh, thanks. I like that's a nice way of saying he chonky. Well, that's how I call myself.
You're cuddly.
Anyway. You put it much nicer. Fluffy.
I mean, it doesn't matter what word you use. It's
so anyway.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. It is exactly all these things. So we're
well,
not talking
has
about somebody
three
who's
times
cuddly,
tried like, to say anyway. This is what we're talking about this week. Just talking over the top of him, which is kind of fun.
It's because my internet shit.
Peter only
like just 2.5 seconds behind us.
Yes. See, yes.
I don't think I'm
this
having any trouble
be a
with Quinny.
Very difficult thing.
I think Peter is having trouble with Quinny, and it's hilarious because this is the most I've ever heard Peter talk, and it's always over the top of whatever Quinny's saying.
Look, all I can do is switch between the two different internet connections and see what this one seems like it's relatively smooth.
Okay. Otherwise, we just give you a little pause after whatever you've said.
No, this one's actually great. This one,
okay.
I can talk.
Yeah, and I think we're in sync now. Hey, we did it.
Is that Loki?
The best part was the moment I did that, you just started going, hey, get back, get it.
Great.
So I was just like, oh, wow. You know what, internet? Fuck you and the horse you rode in on. So, yes, we're talking about Loki. That's what we're talking about.
Yes.
And this is going to be low-key ridiculous.
Yep.
So, okay, where did we first hear about Loki? Where is your history of Loki? Did you read the comics of Loki, Jill? I know you are a Loki.
No, okay. So you know what is fascinating? I hated Thor in the comics.
Oh.
So I never, ever read a Thor comic. I found him such a mimbo that I never picked up a Thor comic. I'm like, ew, no thank you. But Thor in the MCU, brilliant, love it.
I'm also extremely fantastic. Interested in the concept of a mimbo.
A man bimbo.
Oh. Thank you. Because I was portmanteauing a whole bunch of words going.
It's coined from Seinfeld.
Really?
Yes. Elaine was dating a mimbo. It was this blonde guy.
Peter, point. Your thoughts on mimbos?
I love that I had to be explained. That just says it all, really.
Yeah. Yeah, well, a himbo, but like mimbo's the Seinfeld dome.
Right. Okay. Okay. So not a big fan of Thor. Right. I must admit, of all of the original sort of Avengers, he was the one that I was kind of like, how the fuck are you going to make this work? Like
he's douche canoe in the comics.
And he's sort of, you know, a Shakespearean sounding.
Oh, verily.
Yes, you know, forsooth and all this kind of stuff. How do you make that work and not be ridiculous when you pair it up with the rest of the Marvel universe? And so I was astonished at how good a job they did with that first Thor film.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked the Kenneth Branagh movie and it really it humanized Thor for me, and Hemsy did a brilliant job. I liked him.
Hemsy the Mimbo.
Oh, maybe just a little.
did our boy Tom Hiddleston sort of resonate with you in that first Thor film?
Yeah, I really enjoyed Loki. I think he's such a brilliant character. I have to say, like, I've enjoyed his journey over the MCU thoroughly, and found his death in Endgame pretty hard. And I'm like, oh, he's finally he's reached that point where he's made the connection with Thor and they're going to build this brilliant relationship together after 1500 years of them being alive.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's like, here's finally happened and now he's dead. But yeah. I think watching the series Loki, I now love Loki. I liked his character. Now I love his character. And I totally get the appeal. All the Loki fangirls out there, I get it.
Okay, where were you with that, Pete? Like, what was your Loki love level? Your triple L?
I feel like I reached to Jill's level, although I think because I watched the Avengers film before I watched the earlier Marvel films, or most of them. I'm sorry. Look, if you're not like into it, Thor is kind of a hard sell as Captain America as a film. Like, ooh, like a, you know, American Army film. I'm like boy film for boys. Like,
can I just shout out? It's 10 years today since Captain America, the First Avenger.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Which is amazing when you think about it. It's a decade.
Yeah.
But I do love a good bad vampire. you know, the bad character that you really want to be good because you can see that he just has a spark of something in there. Like if he can just make the connection, he can choose the right path. And I did like that arc for Loki. I really enjoyed it, and I was devastated when he was dispatched so quickly and so early in Endgame. And was happy to know that there would be more of him when they dropped the news that there would be a Loki series afterward.
I remember like watching the first film, the first Thor film, and him being kind of the thing that everything else you're like, oh yeah, that's good fun. That seems to be working. But he was the thing that you couldn't not watch.
Mm.
You know, every time he's on screen, you're like, oh shit, he's interesting.
His one-on-one with Anthony Hopkins in that scene where, like, Odin is trying to reach out to him and he's, like, you know, has that moment with him, like, it's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible to watch.
Yeah. And I've been doing a rewatch of all the MCU stuff. So recently I rewatched The Dark World, which I do still think is probably the weakest of most of the Marvel stuff.
It's not like great. But
it's really not.
I don't remember any of it.
That's the thing. Like, and I always thought it was a really interesting thing that when they went, they referenced it again in Endgame, that's where they went back to get that particular Infinity Stone. I was like, bold move, referencing the film that nobody gives a fuck about. but yeah, watching that again, I was like, oh yeah, that's the film where a lot of the character building for Loki really happens, because he's had the shit kicked out of him in the Avengers, and he's come back a cowed and semi broken character. And then, you know, his mum gets killed, and you know, that's the film where Loki, like in the first one, like he's interesting in Avengers, he's kind of your plug-in villain, but in that one it's the one where you go, ah right, interesting. And also Odin's a complete dick in it.
Oh my god, worst father in history.
Absolutely. Like, he's up there with Zeus in terms of shitty fathers from mythology.
Like in Thor 1, he's like, oh, I can't deal with this. I'm just going to take a nap. And he's asleep for half the movie.
Yes.
He's like, oh, you guys will sort it out. Like, I'm just going to go lay down.
I'm tired and Welsh.
Yeah.
Good. Well done. Thanks.
Oh, Dad's having an Odin sleep because he doesn't want to deal with our shit.
Hang on. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It must be time for the Odin sleep, everybody. Turn the TV down. Dad's sleeping.
Oh, my God. That's just, yeah, an Odin
nap. We all
nap.
Have the Odin sleep on Christmas afternoon. We know.
After lunch, a little Odin nap.
Yeah. I love it. But anyway, we kind of had the first inklings that this was going to happen at the end of Avengers Endgame, where...
halfway through.
Was it halfway through?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because that's where they went and did that whole time.
A lot of shit happened in that movie.
I rewatched it on Sunday. I did Infinity War Endgame double feature.
Nice.
Yeah, because I haven't seen it since.
And immediately Peter's teeth are on edge.
Yeah, I actually hadn't seen them since the cinema. And I'm like, it's been a while. I'm going to rewatch them.
Go, Pete.
What were you going to say, Pete? What were you going to say?
Sorry, I have feelings about Endgame that are unrelated to this conversation. Oh. They'll come back around when we talk about next.
Okay.
What I was a little bit worried about, I think, because the thing that I loved about Loki was this fantastic character arc where, you know, he has found his reasons to essentially do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of Endgame, we realised that the Loki we're going to get in the TV series is not that Loki. That is the Loki at the height of his let's take over the universe evilness.
Yeah.
So I was a little bit worried about what Loki we were going to get in this series, because that's not the Loki I love. The Loki I love is the one that we lost in Infinity War. And I kind of loved how they handled bringing that character back around to the character that we all wanted to see or a facsimile of reasonably quickly at the start of this series, because I'm not sure I would have engaged if they hadn't done that very quickly in Act One.
Yeah, and I think it was a very smart move to kind of shorthand through the character. Here have two films worth of character growth, or three or four films worth of character growth, because I guess we all know now that that's where the character is going to be.
Yeah.
And it'd be jarring for an audience to suddenly go, oh, hang on, now you have to spend six episodes hanging out with douche Loki.
Not so, Loki we wanted to hang out with.
No, no. And so Jill, can you give us the briefest synopsis? I mean, that sort of brings us up to where we are now with Loki.
Yes, let me tell you about it.
Please
so,
do.
After stealing the Tesseract during the events of Avengers Endgame, an alternate version of Loki is brought to the Mysterious Time Variance Authority, or TVA, a bureaucratic organization that exists outside of time and space and monitors the timeline. They give Loki a choice: face being erased from existence due to being a time variant, or help fix the timeline and stop a greater threat. Loki ends up trapped in his own crime thriller, traveling through time.
Yay! that's actually a better
what as a crime thriller, actually.
Yeah, I don't know if a crime thriller is the right.
No,
because I don't love a crime thriller personally, and I like this.
I like a crime thriller, but this was not it.
I mean, this but was kind of more like Sliders meets something
Doctor
else.
Who. Yeah, there was a big Doctor Who vibe going on.
Yeah.
What I do, I understand the thing of crime thrill though, because what they've done is you know, made it the buddy cop thing.
Yes.
And they are, for, at least for the first couple of episodes, exploring a crime and, you know, going to crime scenes and doing that thing where they walk around crime scenes and go, yeah, that person came here and that person came here. And Owen Wilson goes, wow, a lot.
He didn't say wow at all.
No. And I kind of, I like that that's what the setup was, but not what the show was.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's the idea of it is, hey, let's be time traveling police detectives. That's not what we got at all.
I will admit this series felt more than the others that we have seen so far in this Marvel television rollout to me, like a film split into six parts more than a TV series to me. I found it particularly frustrating having to stop the story where we stopped it every week to wait for next week's installment of the story, because I just didn't feel like there was anything self-contained about each portion of the story that we were being given.
Okay. Yeah. And I think perhaps that is why when it got to the end of the series, I felt so like jarred by
that. Yeah, I was a little let down by that last episode.
Yeah, not gonna lie. Like the let down, yes, but also that really nasty jarring feeling of I've been watching a movie and you've stopped it halfway through.
Yeah.
Like you've really left me feeling with what the fuck happens now?
Yeah. I've watched 5.5 hours of this and now the last half hour is a dud.
I wouldn't even go so far as to say dud, but it's like if it was a series, like if it was a normally put together series.
It's like the finale of Game of Thrones.
It is, but what it, to me, what, yes, blue eyeballs, yes. But it's that thing of like you get to the second last episode and there's now meant to be another episode where a whole bunch of shit gets wound up. To me, that's where I felt like it like we were an episode away from a good roundup, but now that's in a whole nother second season. So
I heard a rumor that I have not been able to verify, and I don't know where it came from, that it was actually intended to be a longer season, but COVID interrupted filming.
Oh.
And so that is maybe the first half of the story that we were supposed to get.
Okay.
And we're getting the second half later in the guise of season two.
Dion
Sanders. That is a rumor that I heard.
Unverified facts. Yeah, yeah.
But as a theory, that kind of works for me as to why it would build up at that pace and end at that spot. Because it did not build up at a great pace.
You got to wonder if there was like some sneaky re-editing going on for that last episode to maybe try and draw it out for whatever future projects might be coming before season two.
Mm. I mean, it would make a lot of sense if this was the first part of a story and they've kind of gone, shit, we're not going to be able to film this. Like, I mean, even in that last episode, you could tell that there were limitations on distance between actors and you know, it was a lot of talk and a lot of exposition and stuff like that. And that's the kind of thing that is a lot easier to film in COVID situations. So, you know, was it that, yeah, there was a much bigger plot? But also, I mean, that particular character that we'll get to, you know, in the spoilery bits, has been announced as being, you know, a big player later on down the track.
Well, it was announced before the series came out.
Yeah, well, announced before the series came out that he was going to be the big bad guy in a film 2 years away.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's sort of that weird thing of going, okay, right, we're doing that now. Yep, cool. Mm. I don't know. I would love to have seen this go for a full 10 to 12 episodes, even 8 to 10, like a Netflix-style length.
Yeah.
How many do we get for Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
6.
Right, okay. 6 feels so small.
But we are getting a lot of content out of this brand at the moment.
Each series is running for approximately 6 hours. So WandaVision was 9 episodes at around 40 minutes and the other two are almost hour episodes at 6 episodes.
Mm. Because we now have the ability to compare and contrast between three Marvel TV series, like official Marvel TV series as part of the MCU, how do we think it stacks up to the other two?
Honestly, I see them getting compared all the time and I see a lot of people saying, I liked this one, I liked that one. But to me, they're all of a slightly different genre. They're focusing on different characters. So for me, they're all different series. There's not something saying all of this exists at the one time and should be compared to one another. It just depends on which is your flavor.
They're all completely different. I feel like Falcon and the Winter Soldier was probably the easiest watch for somebody who doesn't know the deep lore of the Marvel universe. I was having to explain things less to people who I know who just know the MCU and not all of the other stuff. I think that this one was a real struggle for anybody who doesn't have a little bit of deep knowledge, particularly some of the spoilery bits that happen.
Definitely the final episode. Yeah.
I have had to bring several people back from the brink of absolutely hating the show by explaining the significance that I only know from you guys of everything that happened in that episode. And I feel like if you don't know, you know, who people were and what the significance this has for the rest of the MCU, that episode would have been a real dud.
Yeah.
Massive dud. Even and we can talk more about that when we get to
spoilers. Yeah. I mean, even as a deep hardcore fan, I looked at that and thought, oh, casuals are going to have a hard time at this episode.
Yep. Well, it's a conversation that we had not that long ago with Beck, you know, where she I had, you know, where she was saying that the MCU has become vaguely impenetrable. It's like, unless you have an encyclopedic knowledge of 20 films with also multiple TV series and offshoots and stuff like that, there are some bits and bobs that are really, really hard to get into. And
even if you have all of that, there mm-hmm. are some things that are really hard to get into. A lot of this stuff is only fun if because I'm on the spoiler group, the Periodic Table of Awesome Marvel Cinematic Universe spoiler group, and that's where I really get an
such
appreciation
for it. Such a short, snappy name.
That's where I really get an appreciation for all of this stuff because I've got people revealing to me, oh, no, this little detail in this episode is actually connected to this huge thing. And I'm like, oh, that's super cool. I wish I'd known that while I was watching it.
You're talking about the Thanos copter, aren't you?
Lots of things. There are some really cool details in this. And actually, can we talk about the design for a second?
Yes.
I really loved the look of this series and the design of the TVA and also Loki's costumes being so pedestrian through the entire thing, as opposed to Sylvie having her her proper, you know,
Loki gear.
Yeah. there was so much about the look of this and the design of this and the lighting and everything that I just really enjoyed.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely a big style choice. And I think one thing that I love about the three different series is that each one has kind of taken a leap in a different direction. Mm. You know, WandaVision was such a strong idea. And the idea is sitcoms throughout the ages. And now we're going to play with, you know, this character who has extraordinary powers. To explain why we did that. Falcon and the Winter Soldier was kind of an action adventure kind of show, but with a strong political bent. This one is weird and wonderful and colourful and not alien, but, you know, really elements of...
extremely sci-fi.
Extremely sci-fi, but also in that Brazil, that kind of... So the movie Brazil.
Oh.
Sorry. and 1984-ish and things like that, where it is like the idea that hell and heaven is just a bureaucracy.
Mm.
And what if the most powerful... entity in the entire universe and the entire multiverse, this incredibly powerful group of people, the TVA, is just a bunch of boring ass schmoes who, you know, talk about having donuts and eating and pens, and they're getting around in this weird 70s inflected kind of thing. And I love that episode, I think it's episode one, I'm pretty sure, where he sees the Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
And they're just in a drawer, mm-hmm. and there's hundreds of
them.
Yeah,
there's double ups. Like,
yeah, you're collecting them like Pokemon. Yeah. Exactly. And I really love that because it immediately does is says, okay, here's your stakes that you've known about. Here we're up here. We're on a totally different level, but also it's bureaucracy, and tedium, and that's fascinating. But yes, I agree, Pete. I love the look of it.
What did you think actually, I don't know, maybe this question is getting a little bit spoilery.
I'm guessing that most people have actually seen it.
I was going to say the Void and how different that was as a staging to where we'd spent most of the film, which was inside the TVA.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Because that's kind of where it's kind of like, ooh, it's getting interesting now.
Yeah, I love The Void because, yeah, and to be honest, that was kind of what I was hoping there'd be more of from the first trailers and everything that we'd seen. Mm. I was really hoping that we were going to get a whole bunch of weird shit, like, you know, as Peter Quill would say, I'm going to make some real weird shit. And you know, I love the idea of going to lots of different points in the timeline and different, you know, weird things, and that bit in the trailer where it's revealed that he's DB, whatever his name is, the guy on the plane, the hijacker of the plane.
Oh, right, yeah.
The chat war of mine. Cooper, thank you. You know, I love the idea of it being like this weird time jumping kind of,
that
you can go
anywhere. That was such a red herring, and I was really mad about that in the trailer. Okay.
Yes,
because
there were a lot of red herrings in the trailer that made me think that this was going to be a completely different series,
exactly
to what it was, and I was a little bit pissed because the series that the trailer was selling, I would love to watch that series. That would be
really
fun.
So to me, it kind of felt like, oh, right, well, they're variants, so they can go and do things that other people can't do, and maybe that's how. You know, in a Whovian way of like, oh, it turns out that this famous mystery from history is actually the Doctor. And so, but this time it's actually, Loki's doing all this stuff.
That's exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been such a fun series. Fun. Yeah.
And I mean, in some ways, that's almost what Legends of Tomorrow is doing over for DC.
Yeah.
Like this goofy time traveling, you know, jump in, everybody have a fun time kind of thing. This one, I think, almost is bound by the Marvelness of it all.
Yeah.
Like it is bound to tell a big story.
Yeah. And I think maybe that hindered it a little bit, especially in the finale.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that last time, the last couple of episodes where you are in the void, that to me felt like, you know, what the whole thing could have been a bit more like. You know, when you've got that beautiful moment where you see multiple different Lokis.
Yeah.
And then a ship comes crashing down from the middle of nowhere and it's the fucking ship from the Philadelphia experiment. You know, that kind of stuff is fun and that's what I wanted more of.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. So did we like Tom throughout the whole thing?
Yes. Yes.
Sorry, I just love seeing both Peter and Yorgo.
He is just so brilliant.
Yeah, like, he's fun.
It's not even like a level of attractiveness, okay? It's just like he loves playing Loki and you can tell. He just brings so much to the character and is having an amazing time. And I think, I love it.
Okay, so then
agree. He's not like certainly not on my list of top five hottest Marvel heroes.
No Chris Evans.
No Chris Evans, exactly.
He's not one of the Chris's at all.
No, he could be a Chris. He's lovely enough to be a Chris.
It's more just kind of enjoying somebody having fun with a performance.
Yeah.
That is fun. I really loved the scene where they're in the train and he's drunk and singing and there's just this really sweet, beautiful moment there. And there are quite a few kind of little moments where I'm like, these were the depths of Loki I always wanted to see.
Yes.
Giving the people what they want. That's lovely.
Yeah. Actually, one of my favorite things out of that is he's singing in Norwegian, I believe. And when somebody says, are you drunk? He says, no, I'm full. The word full in Norwegian is drunk, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Fool.
Fool.
Yeah, fool.
Which was just a very, very nice, neat little piece of language that only the Norwegian speakers would get.
Yeah.
You could explore the depth of Loki anytime you want.
What about Sylvie? Do we want to talk about Sylvie? Is that too spoilery?
Well, what
she's a big part of the series. If you've seen a trailer, then you've seen Sylvie.
Yeah. I think that was always going to be an interesting thing. There was a point where early on I was like, are we just going to get multiple different variant Lokis and they're all going to be Tom Hiddleston having a lovely time?
Yeah.
And then when the first one showed up as being Sylvie or, you know, Lady Loki or whatever you want to call her, I was like, oh, okay, cool, right, interesting. I was slightly frustrated by the fact that they seemed to have to make a relationship out of it.
I don't know where to go with this because I know so many people are like, oh, Marvel always trying to shoehorn the romance in. But you know what? We haven't had one single Marvel rom-com at all. And I'm not saying that this is a rom-com series, but what's wrong with a bit of romance? I mean, don't get me wrong, the Natasha Bruce thing was no. But I kind of was really into this. I know they're the same person, But you know what? There's that moment where Loki's talking about Sylvie and saying, you know, she's brilliant and she's amazing and she's all this. And I'm like, that's all the good stuff in you too, honey. It's like, oh, you're learning to love yourself.
Yeah. And as Jess Angela said, Loki is the person most likely to fall in love with himself.
See, I don't see it in a narcissistic way. I see it in a finally realizing his worth kind of way. Because
love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Because he had to admit in episode one that he was a weak person that puts up an act to appear strong. And I'm like, oh, baby. But now he's like finally realizing his worth because he sees it in someone else. But it's him. And yeah, I just found it really lovely.
I agree. I think there's some beautiful stuff in there. I've seen some interesting things about the not revelation or whatever, but the fact that he has been now said to be canonically bi. You know, that there are moments where I love that little bit of discussion of like, you know, I'm sure there've been princes or princesses or whatever, yeah. You know. Yeah. But then I have seen people very disappointed by the fact that he is canonically bi, but then they put him into a straight relationship and you're like, yeah, okay.
It doesn't erase the fact that he's still bi. Hello, yeah, as a bisexual person, just because you're in a relationship, if I was in a relationship with a man, doesn't mean I'm not bi anymore.
It doesn't make you straight. True.
Yeah.
Yes. And this is absolutely true.
And that's bi erasure.
I love that band. So our other key relationship in this is a little man by the name of Mobius.
Oh, Mobius.
Do we love Agent Mobius?
Yes. Owen Wilson, another amazing actor, and absolutely killed it. I love Mobius.
I always find that interesting because he's not a character, or not an actor that you'd go, oh, yeah, yeah.
I know. Yeah. I'm like, okay, Owen Wilson in the Marvel Universe probably would not have picked Mobius M. Mobius as his, you know, role, but okay.
Yeah, yeah. But then again, I think these Marvel series have been wonderful at giving us a surprising secondary characters who you fall in love with.
Yeah.
You know, in Wanda, we got the return of Jimmy and what's her name? Kat Dennings.
Yes, Darcy.
Darcy, thank you. And you know, these characters that you're like, oh yeah, I love those guys. Yeah. And I think Mobius is the standout. Weird casting.
Yeah, and like if someone can come away from watching this series and like, hey, give that guy his own show, then you know it's a success.
Absolutely. And I love Rob's suggestion. If Mobius doesn't finally get his jet ski, which I think we're all hoping for, needs to be in Florida in 1984 as a background extra on Trevor Slattery's TV pilot.
Oh my god. Yes.
That would be amazing. Yeah, and as Karina was saying there, we need all the side characters just meet up and have a big ensemble special, which I'm down for. I'm so down for. So an interesting thing about Sylvie, there's a lot of talk that she's sort of partially, you know, Lady Loki. From the comics, there is a character called Lady Loki, yes. But also a character called the Enchantress.
Yes.
Now, have you read any comics with the Enchantress in it, Jill?
I wouldn't say I've read comics, but I know of Enchantress and who she is.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't. So it was kind of an interesting thing where I was like, oh, I don't know anything about that. And yes, Dion, if you could get Kevin Feige on the phone, let's just save the chat and we'll send it on. So we got six episodes. Were there, did you feel like it had any kind of dead spots or any or really strong episodes that really stood out for you?
I think episode five was gold. I loved episode five. Episode
five was chaotic.
Yeah, but I think that is Loki in a nutshell, chaos.
Yeah.
The dead spot for me was episode six.
Right.
Yeah. I honest to God was falling asleep.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That's a telling statement.
And I was so excited for this scene. I thought, oh, this is going to be amazing. And I was just so tired. And I'm like, there's a lot of talking and not a lot of talking, other talk, stuff talk, happening. Talk. Yeah.
Talk.
Should we talk about how much we liked or didn't like this so that we can go into a spoiler section?
I feel like that's probably a really
good idea. About our issues with that app.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So,
do you want to kick us off, Pete?
Yes.
I mean, look, it's kind of a tough one for me because I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like, I had a lot of fun. It's really hard for me to pick big holes in it because there was nothing about it that really pissed me off. But it wasn't like, I'm not like running down the street grabbing people and saying, you've got to watch Loki. Like other things.
Like Ted Lasso.
By the way, thank you for coming into a chat last night and just going, Ted Lasso!
And then leaving. I'm going to say 87.
Okay. Nice.
Which, like, it feels high, but it's only because I can't think of a lot of things that I didn't like about it. Mm. You know, the ending did fall flat for me, but I am giving a lot of benefits of doubts for setting up some really interesting stuff to happen in another season. So I am letting it off the hook.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. Jill, give me a number.
Ooh. 90. You know what? The series for me, it just cemented Loki as a favorite character now. There were so many Easter eggs throughout the whole series. And for me, I love that kind of shit because I'm just like, oh, I know what that is. I know what that is.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know. I'm one of those sickos that goes for all of the deep cut stuff. But it was such a fun series and I enjoyed every aspect of it. I thought it was so cool. It's a lot of exposition in the final episode to set up for things that are to come. But I just want to say Loki Gator for best Loki.
I hate to say this, but can you, I don't know of a way of saying this nicely. Can you make it so that we can read it better? So scroll around a little bit to the side. There you go. Fuck around and find out.
Yeah. He will take your hand off.
I love it so much. And I also love that you were like straight out, let's make a fucking t-shirt out of this.
Yeah. It's on my Redbubble. Ask me after the show.
Not a problem. I'm sure that we will find it in the actual show notes. That's right. Show notes on the website.
Ooh.
I'm going to give it 88. Okay. I'm just writing it down so I remember what I said. I think it's a lot of fun, and it sets up a bunch of great ideas that I don't necessarily think it paid off all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if it had had a stronger wrapped up ending, I probably would have rated it higher, but I really was kind of at the end of it going, oh no, hung the fuck on. Well, like you don't leave it like that. What the fuck?
Mm.
And that's, that was frustrating as hell. But I also, like, there's a part of me going, cool. Good. You know, we get another season. That's awesome. Great.
Yeah.
But then there's another part of me going, but you really didn't give us an ending.
No.
And that's a thing. And I'm not into that.
Bit unsatisfying, really.
It's so you spend the bucks in the cinema next year to see what happens.
In Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness or, I mean, once again, I keep finding myself going, how does this all play together with the rest of the upcoming slate? Because, you know, every time something new comes out, you're like, so where do the Eternals fit in with the TVA? You know?
Yeah, I saw a theory the other day that maybe they have never stepped in before because they haven't had a multiverse appear like we have now. Maybe this is why they're stepping in. Maybe that could be the plot line for Eternals.
Well, do we want to have Mr. Music play us a clip and then we'll dive deep on that?
Thank you, Music.
Why the hell is there an alligator in here?
He's a Loki.
Good for us.
Yeah. I didn't know cool. how long that one was. And was vaguely waiting for Dion to give us the count in. But also, by the way, Dion is riding the mic and everything tonight, but he's not very well. So everybody give him a little bit of love and just tell him how wonderful he is.
He's just adapting to his new 10G network.
Yeah. And he's soon going to be the robot that we all know and love.
He's vibrating at another level. He's on another plane right now.
that's a very personal thing to talk about. Right.
Yeah, so. The thing that bugged me about that scene with all the different Lokis is because all of the promos for the show had all of these different Lokis in it, and it feel like this was going to be a show about Loki wearing all of these different hats.
Yes.
And otherwise.
And how does he become President Loki?
Yes.
And all of those interesting things were just in that one gag. And that was a bit frustrating.
President Loki costume is beautiful and we get it for like one scene. I'm like, no.
Yeah. I was going to ask Dion whether he can put the spoiler logo up, but he has.
Lovely.
Yes.
I need to ask a technical time wibbly wobbly question.
Sure.
So if the TVA has been methodically pruning every time there is any kind of variation from the master timeline, how are there so many radically different Lokis? Because surely if they're pruning that often, these radically different Lokis would never be able to develop.
But what does pruning do? What does pruning do?
Pruning just sends them to the void.
So that's where they're all from, is it? Like, so
no, they're not from the void. They're all from timelines. Sorry,
but there are like lots of different timelines that started at different points in time.
The TVA don't operate in the present; they operate across all of time.
So are these all of the Lokis that got pruned while face was doing his like thing with all of the timelines to get it to the master
timeline? Make an interesting point, don't you? Because
and you like that I say, what's his face? Because this is the character that, like, if you don't know, it means nothing.
They never use his fucking name, I think is, I mean, understand, but, you know, but at the same time, if you want to give a bad guy a bit of oomph, use their name.
Predator Kangaroo is right. What I mean is, how are they diverging so far before they're pruned? That's what the TVA is doing.
And also what we're actually talking about is the concept of the multiverse already existing, because for there to be a croaky or a Loki gator or a
he's not a crocodile, it's an alligator.
Yes, I know. That annoyed me the fuck out of me when people were calling him croaky. I'm like, it's an alligator.
Yeah.
So a Loki.
Yes. So, alligator Loki or whatever. That would come from an alternate universe, not from somewhere earlier in a timeline. That is a parallel version of the universe. So
that is a whole universe of crocodilian Asgardians. Like,
as is Throg.
A multiverse.
Yes,
but is the Nexus point. That's the branch off a timeline is not an alternate timeline to the major timeline. It becomes a multiversal timeline. So it's a whole other parallel universe.
I get that and I understand that, but we're saying is that everything that's in the void must have been being pruned from multiple different universes, not the one sacred timeline, because according to us, the one sacred timeline is the one thing So the void is every timeline smooshed together.
So yes. Maybe they're all there from when what's his face, evil time man, created
what did they call
the one timeline?
Person,
the one who remains. The one who remains, yes.
Yeah. So look, he had to fight his multiversal war. So I'm going to say that, okay, so all of these multiverses were happening together, but then when he got to his point, he's like, okay, well, I'm going to prune all of these and bring them in. And so that's why they're all in the void now. So all of those things happen concurrently, but now they don't, and there's just one. So everything else is now in the void.
I can live with that, but until the last episode, that was very confusing.
Right.
Yeah. It was very confusing. And you know, like, the more I think about it, the more I go, okay, so, so you know, this concept of there being multiple Lokis and stuff like that automatically means that there are lots of different timelines trying to shoot off all the time.
Yes.
But they exist for a certain period of time. So, like, Sylvie had at least 10 years of her timeline before she got pruned.
Because it probably wasn't coming up to that red line. It might have just been doing a bit of this. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it also doesn't explain why they let Captain America go back in time and live a life with Peggy when she already had a future.
Well,
that becomes a multiverse.
And the Russos have already said that there is, like, they're of the belief that him going back creates a split universe. I mean, there have been meetings apparently already with Kevin Feige going, okay, this is how we're doing multiverse and this is how we make it fun.
Do we make it fun or do we make it make sense?
And I mean, there's a part of me that is very scared.
They never make sense.
They're just making up their own rules as they go. They can do whatever the fuck they want. They're Marvel.
So the running theory is that they allowed that to happen because that's the way it was supposed to go, right? They only prune things that weren't supposed to happen that way.
Yeah.
And that's, again, very loose, very wibbly wobbly. But like I can live with that. So here's my other problem that happened is not knowing who Evil Time Man is. Mm. Most of the series and I knew that you guys were like all being like, oh, maybe it's such and such, the Mephisto, but not Mephisto.
Mephisto.
I don't know who that is. So as a non-person of knowledge, I was really in with the theory that it's all just another Loki variant.
Yeah.
And then when we get there and we find out his name is He Who Remains, and I'm like, well, Loki's survive.
The ultimate
felt
survivor.
Like a huge, like, red herring to me, like taking us even closer to, oh, it's another Loki. Mm. And then there was all of this exposition.
Well, and also, I went into that last episode thinking that it was going to be a variant version of Mobius, just because why would you call a character Mobius, you know? And what was the last time in the universe that we saw the Mobius strip?
Endgame,
when fucking Tony Stark is building a Mobius strip time machine.
Yeah.
And then there were theories that Mobius was another Loki. Like, so, I mean, you go with the theories, but I didn't hate that one either because it would make sense in some ways, but not in the way where, like, how would he be that different if they're pruning all of it anyway? So I spent 5 episodes being confused about that.
But, yeah, instead we get He Who Remains, who – fans of all the comics and everyone who'd been watching the announcements of, you know, characters who were coming up in upcoming films, like, which is such a weird thing. Like, we spend so much time trying to avoid spoilers about stuff. Like, you know, Marvel, there's the jokes about the Marvel snipers and everything like that, and you can't talk about spoilers. And yet, a year and a half or 2 years out from a film, they've already announced that a particular actor is going to be in it and they're playing this particular character and you're like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we're like, oh, wow, we're getting this person. Maybe this is going to be the next Thanos and all that kind of jazz.
Yeah.
You see in the chat would like to know why Richard E. Grant was such a big deal, and so would I. Can anyone else help me out with that?
Do you mean like his character or him as an actor?
Him as an actor playing that particular character, just because he's cool.
Richard B. Grant is an amazing actor. But also, it's classic Loki.
Yeah.
It's his classic comic book outfit.
Yeah.
And like, we got to see classic outfits of Wanda and Vision in their show, and it was just so cool to see like classic Loki outfit done, like not daggy. It was daggy, but like, but kind of like, oh, that's how it would look, and that's kind of cool.
That version, and it's also a very interesting question as to where that version of Loki comes from in terms of his timeline and, you know, what he went through. Like, I guess you just give it to Richard E. Grant because he's a hell of an actor and go, okay, we need somebody who has the Shakespearean chops and, you know, the gravitas to pull off that, which could have been a real fucking silly character.
You know, could have gone so wrong.
But then by the end of the episode, you're like, fuck yeah. Yes. I am on board with classic Loki and I want him to have glorious purpose.
He's super powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved how he just kept saying glorious purpose all the time.
Yes. And you know, yes, he looks silly, but there is something, you know, wonderful about watching
him.
He's
so charming.
Yeah, do his thing.
Yeah.
Just back to Jonathan Majors again.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw a lot of people very excited that they'd done the character. So the character of He Who Remains is one of many different versions of a character called Kang.
Mm-hmm.
So Kang the Conqueror or Kang, I can't remember, there's a whole bunch of them. And he references himself as being known by different names as, you know, conqueror and villain and this, that and the other. But throughout the comic books, he's this basically the time travel Thanos. You know, he's the one who can fuck around in the timeline anywhere and just unmake reality virtually. You've gotten his version of his backstory.
Yeah.
Now. But I really, really got frustrated by the fact that we had to do it through animated tableaus again.
And exposition.
So much exposition.
Straight up exposition.
It was legit so boring that I'm like, ugh.
Mm.
Because when they, like, you see him revealed in the doorway, I'm like, they are doing Kang. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was the whole Mephisto thing again. It's like, it's going to be Mephisto. It's like, oh, no, this time, oh, it's going to be Kang. And then we're like, no, surely it couldn't be. Oh, okay, yeah, okay. They're doing this.
Yeah.
So
explain to me who Immortus is.
Okay.
Kang. There's another version of Kang.
Another version of Kang, but Immortus is one of the versions, and Dion will probably be able to link you to a Wikipedia article for us so that we could say it. But yeah, Immortus is a version of Kang who has lived until the end of time, at different points in time, and have different reasons for being. So this version of He Who Remains is another version of Kang that has been in the comics. In the comics, he was a very, very old, decrepit man, basically, who just lived to the end of everything and wanted to... I can't even remember what he wanted to do. There you go.
I don't know. They all have such convoluted goals.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about it, as Amy has just put into the chat, one of the versions of Kang, Immortus, whatever, is Nathaniel Richards, who is Reed Richards' grandson, if memory serves, or son.
I don't know, descendant.
Descendant from the 31st century or whatever. Reed Richards being the guy who's, you know, one of the Fantastic Four, which is one of the upcoming movies that has...
Gonk.
I'm sorry.
This is a huge gonk for Peter. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I could see you both kind of going...
drifting a little bit there?
Pete, warning, this is a gonk.
So
I don't know what the Fantastic Four is.
Yeah, okay. So Mr. Fantastic, Kang is his great descendant.
Yeah. who lives to the end of time,
the 31st century.
Yeah. And you've heard basically his full story as narrated by Jonathan Majors in full exposition with small animated figures.
Yep.
And all of that, like, okay, we saw recently, or not that recently, the episode of Mythic Quest, that in the middle of the series where you take away from all of the normal characters and you suddenly have a plotted episode for two other characters, you know, living a different life. I would have loved to have seen an entire episode where we just see Kang's history.
Right. Okay. That would have worked, because I know so many people are like, show don't tell. And I'm like, but he did. He showed it in the stupid animation. But yeah, no, that is actually such a good idea. If they had done a bottle episode of like, after episode 5, hey, we're going to go and find the Wizard of Oz behind the screen, basically, and then have the episode of like, he who remains, and this is his story, and this is this person that gets to there, and you watch the whole episode and you're like, what is this about? Who is this person? And then that's who they see in episode 7.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would have been great.
That's the thing.
It would
have made
so much more sense.
It felt so much like one of my fucking most hated parts out of Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is where
Ego, the living planet, is
narrating his story.
Does the same thing.
And it was just like, oh, you lazy motherfuckers.
Yep. Okay, now I get it.
That was my pet hate, because it's like, yes, you've got all the monologues, great. You've got a great actor who does an amazing job of it.
Yes.
But fuck.
Yeah. Just give us that episode with like no explanation. Just show us everything. Then when they meet each other in episode 7, you're like, oh, it all makes sense now.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a fix. It's an expensive fix.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. But that's what we're all about here. Fixing the things that
I don't think they have cash flow problems over at Disney Marvel.
No.
So. So I think we should go back and reshoot it. And then we'll just insert it into the series from now on and it'll be fine.
Perfect.
That will be absolutely spot on.
Now, here's why I, after all of that, don't forget that episode. Because you get to the end of the episode and you're suddenly like, oh, my God, it's Marvel Sliders.
Yes, because now they've
like love a good slider.
Shown up where they think they know what's going on, but it's really not their timeline.
Mm. Yeah.
So then I was like, you know what? Whatever that was, back on board.
Yeah.
Back on board for Loki, heartbroken that his friend, his only friend in the world, doesn't remember him now. Like, that's terrible. Poor Loki.
Heartbroken that Sylvie is you know, perhaps not as into him as he thought.
Well, she done fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, did she? Maybe she got the result she wanted.
Well, she certainly got the result Kang wanted.
Well, she got the result that Feige wanted as well.
Yeah. Yes. She got the result that I understand that we all needed to get to the next stage of this Marvel Cinematic Universe, right? Because we're just about to run into an entire animated series about potential different universes.
Yeah. And that I'm super
something
fucking excited about.
Multiverse of Madness, which I'm assuming the multiverse needed to exist for.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. See, and there are so many things in it that this that are visual cues that I found really interesting that I was like, I wish that we'd had perhaps more time to expand upon, and less of just here's a tiny little animated character that explains it. Like, I want to know more about Miss Minutes. I want to know what she does.
What kind of Eldritch horror she is.
Yes, I feel like she is some fucking terrifying power that has just been squished into the shape of a clock.
Hi,
everybody. Yeah, but also, like, the thing that the sacred timeline is a ring. And he refers to the fact that he has been resurrected or reincarnated. So up until that point, the timeline has just been one ring around his thing that he could look at any point in time and see the beginning and the end of time and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now there isn't that. Now the timeline has split off and has become this multiverse. And do we know, you know, where we are in any particular point in time, or is every point in time exactly the same as every other point in time? And then you get into some serious quantum bullshit.
A Quantumania, perhaps?
Exactly. And I think it's interesting, but also it does hit that point. And I think anytime you bring in multiverse stuff and they're doing it in DC at the same time, it kind of gets to that point where it's like, well, suddenly things don't matter anymore.
Didn't they touch on it a little bit in The Dark World? I seem to remember when like Eric Selvig was bonkers.
Naked.
And he was like doing stuff on the chalkboard. He was like talking about different universes.
Yes, though a lot of that is talking about the different realms. Throughout The Dark World, they're talking about the Yggdrasil, the world tree or the universe tree, and the different realms that the different things kind of live on. And I think they're sort of seen as being kind of parallel.
Okay, I might universes, have to go back and watch that movie.
If you feel like it. Not one that I'm going to say, you know, go have a great time.
Maybe I'll just find that scene.
Yeah.
Just Google the scene.
Yeah, just Google it. Like, I really wanted to like it, but I found myself just getting more and more disinterested as it went on. Sorry. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think there are some great moments in this, and then there are a bunch of other things that you kind of like, that was a really good tease but didn't pay off. And yeah, it ended very, I want to say not badly, but it ended on a very strange note of like, and that annoys me.
But it gave us
Loki Gator.
I love.
I feel like we rated it too high after you've like come down to that time, Quinny.
No. I still think it is a lot of fun. But I do feel like there are just like the ending point really doesn't
live up to the rest of the series.
Yeah, which is bizarre because it is giving fans exactly what they want.
Yes.
So what's the next big step now? What's the next release? I know that we've got What If coming, but I'm assuming that that's not going to really propel any of our current MCU timeline stories forward.
I don't think so.
Doctor Strange that's going to be our next installment to this story?
Well,
it could be Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Or it could be Eternals. I don't know the plot of the Eternals.
Right. I'll save the question of what Eternals and why for another time, perhaps.
I think Eternals we really don't know much about other than the name, which is
Richard Madden. Yeah. I mean, whatever.
And I know there are a lot of people who are very angry about Eternals. Jill being one of them. Yep.
Only because of that one trailer. I don't like them.
It was out of context, Jill. Maybe you should give it another chance.
Maybe. Yeah. Look, I'm still going to watch it.
But with a name like Eternals, it's an interesting idea that if they do live forever, you know, are they people who can see a timeline breaking? And that could put them in a very interesting place. I'm pretty sure Spider-Man is going to be the one that really kind of forwards the multiverse plot, because we know that it's got spider villains from other universes now.
Mm-hmm.
Alfred Molina, Dr. Octopus from the Tobey Maguire films is in it.
Jamie Foxx, Electro's in it.
From the...
Andrew Garfield film.
Thank you. Yeah. couldn't remember his name.
Jonah, who we saw at the end of like No Way Home.
Yeah.
So like, yeah.
There's very definitely some kind of weird multiverse. And also, I mean, hell, Spider-Man Far From Home had references to multiverse stuff as well. What's his name? Mysterio said that he was from an alternate universe. Wasn't. But
no. Wasn't he lying? Didn't that get everybody excited for a second? And then they're like,
yes.
It's another burner joke.
Yeah. Missy asked the question, does the threshold mean that every being in every timeline now exists simultaneously? Well,
possibly.
Kind of, yeah. The threshold was the point where you could no longer put a sacred timeline back together. I think that's what the idea of that was. But also I felt like it was the point where the ring stopped being a ring. And could no longer return back on itself, you know, a robberous itself or whatever it needed to do. Got some pretty fucking heavy duty concepts in there, didn't it?
I mean, if he pruned it all back once, then surely he would do it again if he really wanted to. But the question is what version of He Who Remains ends up in power at the end of that again.
Yep.
I guess. Mm.
Yeah, that, and I mean, if that is where we're doing is let's have another war, let's have a time war, you know, where multiple gangs and multiple, I mean, is this now going to be the filmic version of Secret Wars? Fuck, I only know.
I thought they were doing a TV version of Secret Wars.
Yeah, I think they are. So, which I don't know whether, I mean, there are so many things in the comics that over the years that they've done. Like Secret Wars, where it's, you know, the all of the that were big crossovers in the comics that are now kind of like, yeah, big crossovers in the movies, which are they going to be the same thing? Probably not. Who knows? It's just so big.
It is. It keeps expanding.
It does. And I think that was something I was a little bit surprised at after WandaVision, which was still, you know, a relatively small story. You know, it was a town. You know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier was a bigger, more sort of around the world kind of story, but it was still quite small. This one's a very big story.
Yeah, it's like behind the scenes, but big.
Yeah. It's big, but you don't know it. And that's not something we're going to talk about.
For another time. What are we talking about on Friday?
Oh, well, Dion, I'm hoping he's going to get bigger and better. That's what I wanted, because it is time for Dion's JCVD retrospective. I need you to know that Dion has been joking about this for about 5 years, ever since we started. Every time I was like, what should we do next week? He's like, JCVD RC. And I was like... I don't want to do a JCVD retrospective. And he's like, I'll do it myself then.
Yeah, and he is.
So. Okay, so anyone who wants that on Friday,
he's going to talk about Kick Puncher.
Yeah. Yes, and you can all watch it and go, damn.
And next Tuesday?
Next
I kind of wish we were talking more Marvel next Tuesday.
The Tomorrow War.
Oh,
spoiling again, my own review there, aren't I?
I have many thoughts about the Tomorrow War, which is significantly more than the people who wrote it.
Should be a fun one.
Come
along.
So, yeah, you should all get onto that one, watching that one as soon as you possibly can, because there we go. Yeah. I love that the chat's now like lighting up with how shit they think it is.
Let's save it for next week. Let's talk about fun talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. I had a chat with the lovely Annie McCann last night from Reader's Review. She was saying, you know, what is Periodic Table of Awesome about? What do you look at? And I was trying to say that we try to look at things that are awesome. You know, and the way that we review things is we start with 100% awesome and then we just take things away for things that aren't so awesome until we get to our score at the end. And then she's like, oh, that sounds really positive. And then sometimes we review shit.
I was watching you say that thinking next week we're talking about Tomorrow Wars. So,
Yep. That was what was going through my head.
See how we go with that.
And Karina's like, no, watch more trash.
It's really good. So,
what's that? Sorry.
Some people have told me that the Tomorrow Wars is really good. So, you know, we can have.
I wouldn't say it's really good.
An impartial adult discussion about its. Yeah. You know. Yeah. Cool.
So yes, it's busy times. Join us on Friday, of course, for the JCVD, or next week for the Tomorrow War. And of course, make sure that you add yourself, like we have our periodic table Marvel Cinematic Universe chat. We have a DC Universe chat. We also spoiler thread, Star Wars one. For a while there, we were running them for every movie that came out. It was like, here's the Spider-Man one. Here's
we just
this
narrowed
one.
It down to universes now.
Yes, yes. And we do also have to make a bit of an announcement because Dion will yell at us if we don't.
Do we have a Stevie Wonder track, Dion, on the sound deck?
Of course, we're talking about the lovely Adela. Context yes. might help there, not, you know. I mean, anyone whose birthday it is today.
Yes, happy birthday to anyone.
But especially happy birthday to our friend Beck.
Yes.
Yes, she does deserve a round of applause. She quite regularly has joined us in the past to talk about movies and TV things and stuff like that. But at the moment, we are all in the wonderful world of ISO, and one of the hardest things in the world is to have an ISO birthday. Mm-hmm. And I think she has done it with pretty bloody good grace and aplomb. You know, you'd be well within your rights to kick a bit of dust around and go, birthday's bullshit. But she has not done that at all.
No.
She has been wonderful. So happy birthday, Beck. Right. Well, who is on at the moment?
We're going to raid somebody.
We are going to raid somebody if my internet works. Now, fail to load the module. That's super
cool.
Super useful. I could guarantee you that there's somebody else on, but I can't see him, so whatever.
Go and find them yourself.
Improved. It's fine.
All of the other streams.
Well, the rest of Twitch has been proved.
Yeah, we are the only sacred timeline. Fuck around and find out. Lovely. Thank you, everybody. I have been Quitty.
I've been Jill.
I've been Peter.
Bye.
And we've been the Periodic Table of Awesome. Thank you and good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.